Huh? Show me what it costs. My, my. Very good. Very good. All right. Everybody all right? All right, look at Numbers, if you would. Turn to Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 21. Give you some thoughts tonight. I told you that this morning that it would be better for you to be here tonight than it was this morning. And after I look at my outline, you probably would have been better off just being here this morning. No, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing that. Want to help us tonight, if we can at all. Want us to think about some things. I understand. I've done this long enough to understand that I cannot change you. I can't change you. Can't change nobody. And I have a hard time changing myself because I don't like change either. And so I have a hard time with that myself. So I understand that. But if I can get you to think, the Holy Spirit will have to do the work on all of us that needs to be worked on. Now, I do believe He is faithful to do His work. I do believe that He came to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I believe He does that. I do believe He draws us to the cross. I do believe that. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe He gives every person ample opportunity to be saved. I believe He gives everyone a certain amount of faith to believe. And then I believe the Bible teaches that we are to build on these things. Everybody has the same foundation. But then it says to build upon, I believe, don't Peter say, to build upon your holy faith these things, virtue, love, brotherly love, all these things that we are to build upon. Don't the Scripture say that? Talk to me. Ain't that what the Scripture says? I believe so. And but everybody starts out the same. If I understand it, everybody starts out the same. But I'm afraid that we are letting modernism and the modern day creep into our minds and our hearts, and it's changing us. Now, what's going to have to be done is we're going to have to get back to what we're supposed to be. All right, and I didn't say you, I said us. Now, we can see great things that God has done for us here at the church. And this will be the first Sunday night I've preached since 1st September. All these other guys have been preaching. So it's been a while that I've preached on Sunday night, and I'm going to be your pastor tonight. And I want you to listen carefully, all right? But Numbers 21 is where we're at. And I'm going to go ahead and read a few verses, and then we'll come back and we'll pray and come back and preach a little bit, all right? Numbers chapter 21, let's just go ahead and start at verse 1. Numbers chapter 21, start at verse 1. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into mine hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Father, we come tonight. And Lord, you are so good, we can't even explain. You are so good to us and have given us everything. And none of it's by our hand. Lord, do you just supply? You're just faithful, and I love you tonight. And Lord, help us as a body to praise you and magnify your name and to give you the honor that's due because of your care, how you care for your children. The way we treat you, but yet you care for us so great. And Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Now, Lord, I need your help. Lord, all of us need your help tonight. We need you to speak to us, touch us, change us into what you want us to be. Lord, please don't make us what we want to be. Make us what you want us to be. Help me to stay out of the way that you work on me. I don't need to tell you how to fix me, God. I know I'm broke, and if you'll just fix me, I'll appreciate it. Lord, help me have enough sense to recognize that when you do, that I might praise you and honor you tonight. Now, Lord, I need power. I can do nothing by myself. Please, Lord, touch me fresh of the Holy Spirit, and may the people in this building, in this sanctuary tonight, may they not be the only ones that hear and listen. But God, I pray for all those that's listening on live stream. Those will go back and watch the website, listen to the website. I pray for every mind, every heart. May you speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We read here about the children of Israel, and I wanted to let you know, we are not Israel. All right, we are the body of Christ. We are Christ's bride. We are not Israel. But we can use Israel as an example on the way God is and the way God does. And the Bible says that all these things are written for our example, that we might know how to live and that we might see some things. So even though we are not Israel, there is some things that apply. I have many concerns about our church, just like if we would read about Israel, there's many concerns about Israel here, the way they do. Are they not just normal people? I mean, they're just as normal as we are. Growl, whine, complain, praise the Lord one day, cuss him out the next. I mean, I'm wondering sometimes if Israel weren't Baptist. But they do. They whine and complain about life, then they're praising the Lord for all he does. And they don't even get the song finished singing until they start whining again. I mean, if that's not us, I don't know who is. I mean, a good example. And the Lord is so patient. Ain't it wonderful? The Lord is so merciful to Israel. And he reminds them how patient he is and loving. And then look at us tonight, how much he is patient with us, knowing and remembering, you know, as he told David, and he remembers that we're but dust. And knowing that we're nothing, knowing all that, he's redeemed us. Making us a peculiar people, trying to conform us. No, he's not trying. He's conforming us. He's not trying to. He's doing it. But boy, it's rough sometimes. You ever try to give a dog medicine? Yeah. Try to hide it in his food, they won't take it. Then you get aggravated and just grab it and you stick it down his mouth and clamp its mouth and try to make him swallow. Do you ever do that? Anybody ever do that to a dog? That's how he does us with his Bible, with his Word. You know, he gives us medicine and we won't take it, and he hides it in our food and we slip by it, and then he just grabs it, stick it in and holds him out, and we'll still squirm and everything, trying to be conformed to his image. He's going to do it. Everybody understand that? He's going to conform us to his image. Like it or not, he's going to conform us to his image. But boy, it's going to be a rough road to hoe sometime. But I have concerns about our church, just like there's concerns here about Israel. And I know none of us are perfect. I know that. I don't claim you're perfect. I don't claim I'm perfect. But we do have a perfect Savior. And we have a perfect Savior that lives inside of us that does empower us to do a lot better than we're doing. And I don't believe anybody can argue to the fact that we can do better. Can you say amen right there? That we can do better than we're doing. I believe all of us can do better than we're doing. Do you believe that? And now I got praise for the church. We're not just going to beat the church tonight. We're going to praise. We got praise. I want to give you, now we're coming up to the end of the month. It'll be here before you know it, and then I'll give a full report. But you know, I was just looking at some things this evening when I was studying. You know, we've had 101 first-time visitors this year. Ain't that amazing? 101 first-time visitors that's come through the doors of this church. I mean, to me, that is most wonderful. Huh? We've had 29 baptized, if I've counted right, kept track of everybody, baptized 29. Ain't that amazing? Huh? We've had 53 people profess that, but not counting the jail, just church work, 53 people that's made professions of faith. Is that not amazing? Somebody been doing something. And I honor and praise the work that's been done. Thank you for the work that's been done. And I think it ought to be. I think it ought to be commended. I believe you go back and read the church's revelation that Jesus, when he wrote to the churches, he was commend them for the things. Then he said, but, you know, I got someone against you, but now you've done this, you've done that, you've done that. And that's why, and that's it ought to be said. And I want you to know that. So there is work being done. But there's some things that trouble me. One of the main things that trouble me, and I maybe it's just me that it troubles, I'm the pastor, I look at things, I do not, everybody look at me tonight, I do not expect you to have my faith. I do not expect you to have my concern. I do not expect you to see what I see. I don't expect that. All right? Because my faith will be different. It should be. If my faith ain't greater than yours, then you don't need me. Right? If I can't see what's coming as your pastor, then I ain't much of a pastor. Can you agree to that? All right? I believe that ought to be right. And so there's some things I see. There's some things that I notice. And one of the things that troubles me, and it troubles me, and the other Sunday morning I was sitting there, and Brother Rick read this scripture in Sunday school, four Sundays or five Sundays ago. When was it? Four or five Sundays ago. And I was sitting there, and when he read it, I said, huh, there's a message. And I outlined the message sitting down there and during Sunday school. I still listen to you, but I can do two things. Well, I put my staff on it, and they work. But that has been on my mind. And I started doing some things that I had never done. I started writing every Sunday afternoon. I started writing a list because the things that have been concerning me is the unfaithfulness of the church. The thing that's been disturbing me is the slack of the church body. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And that's... what concerns me is it's just not new converts. What concerns me that it's seasoned Christians and it's people that's been in church for years and hold offices and everybody. It's just been everybody to a point of missing church. And I want us to look at some things tonight because I've been asking God to show me what the problem is, to see. How I can help as a pastor. We still okay? Now, a lot of people that missed have been through the fire, and some are going through the fire. So I understand various situations, all right? But listen to me. For the last five Sundays, we'll just go there. The last five Sundays, I've been going in Sunday afternoon and writing down everybody that's not here. Instead of writing down who's here, I write down who misses. All right? Brother Rick counts who's here. That's what he says. He said, I count who's here, you count who ain't. And I've been giving Brother Rick a list. I didn't give you yours for today, but I've been giving him a list of the people because I have, not bragging or nothing, I can stand here and on Sunday morning, and I don't know what goes on downstairs for every person, but just for upstairs, I can take the attendance. I can sit and close my eyes and take the attendance on Sunday morning. Y'all know that. And that's what I've been doing. And I go write it down. And what I found on average, now this is not some Sundays it's more. A couple Sundays it was just a little less, okay? But some Sundays it was more. But in the last five Sundays, we've had an average of 94 regulars missing. One Sunday we had 116 gone. One Sunday 111, 106, 94, 72, 71, 78. Anyway, I averaged them out. And it was 94 was the average. Okay? Now, you say, well, that don't matter. Well, 94 regulars on a Sunday morning is hard on a church. When 94 people miss, when most churches don't have 54 people. And we got 94 that miss. Now, that's the average of 5 Sundays. Actually, I've done this since the first Sunday of October. All right. The average attendance is 228, which is a great attendance. If we have 228 people, that's a lot of people. That's with the 94 missing. See, our average attendance ought to be 322. If everybody, see, numbers don't lie. Figures don't lie, liars figure. All right? The figures don't lie. Is everybody with me? All right? But think about that. And I've watched things change. All right? And I've watched this not just since October. I've watched it all year. But I started writing things down in the last several weeks. Does everybody follow me? Now, let me ask you a couple questions, and we'll get to the message. Just hang with me a minute. That is on the average of 30% of the workforce gone on Sunday morning. 30%. You know, that's a big percentage of people gone on Sunday morning. Now, it ain't all the same. Now, some of us been the same people. Okay? But for the most part, it's been different people. Everybody with me? But let's just see if we can get you on a mindset here, okay? Let me see if I can do this. All right, let's say you make $20 an hour. Everybody follow me now. Pay attention. You make $20 an hour, and you work 40 hours a week, you're going to make $840. Okay? Now, let's take 30% of that away. Can y'all figure that in your head? I know Carl can. He's the big brain over there. He can figure. All right? So we do 3 times 84. All right? 10% is 84, right? 20% is 168. All right? 30%. Everybody follow me? So what is that, 280? 200 and some, what is that? What's 168 and 84? 172, what is it? Y'all follow me? All right, take it off your payday. Take right at $300 off your payday up front before Uncle Sam gets his. So take roughly $300 off your check and then another... for $20 an hour, another, let's see, 130 bucks, roughly, what the government's going to take, all right? Be about 65 bucks, really, a week for 40 hours, somewhere like 130. Anyway, we're going to come down about 580 bucks. Will that bother you? Talk to me. Would that bother you to lose 300 some dollars right off the top before you ever get anything done? So when we talk 30%, what I want you to get in your mind, I'm trying to get something in your mind, when we talk 30%, it matters. Can you agree to that? Can you say amen to that? So when you lose 30% of the workforce in a church, 30% is going to praise the Lord. 30% is going to worship the Lord. 30% is going to sing in a congregation. 30% is going to have the opportunity to testify. 30% is going to have the opportunity to agree in prayer. 30% is going to be an influence to bring somebody to Christ ain't here on Sunday morning. Is that a lot or not? You tell me. And you do the numbers yourself. I give you the numbers. You do them. And that's what we're looking at. So I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Are you important? Talk to me. Are you more important than a dollar bill? Well, I want you to know, if I lose $300 a week, we're going to have to sit down and do some discussions. If I lose $300 a week and we ain't done nothing yet, talk to me. Can anybody disagree with me? Does anybody here got $300 just to throw away every week? Not going to use it. You ain't going to buy nothing with it. It's going to be wasted. We're going to take a cigarette lighter and burn it. $300 bill, we're going to burn it. How many wants to do that? Y'all got it? Anybody got it to do? That's what happens when 30% of your church don't come on Sunday morning. So I'm concerned. Shouldn't I be? Should I be? And I've asked the Lord, why? And we was reading this scripture here a while back, whenever it was, and I said, well, maybe this is the reason. So I'm going to read a couple of verses again, and we're going to give you a thought tonight. And I'm not throwing this at nobody. All right? But I will say this. If you throw a rock in a pack of hounds, the hound that barks is the one that gets hit. All right? So if you yelp, then that's just where the rock hit. All right? Because I'm not throwing it at nobody. I'm just throwing a rock in a pack of hands. Everybody all right? I have nobody's name wrote down. Talk to me. All right. Let's go back and read verse 4. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And I said, there's the answer. The way is the problem. The way is the problem. So tonight for a title, I'm going to give you a few thoughts on when the way is in the way. When the way is in the way. Because that's what's become our problem in modern day Christianity, that the way is in our way. Everybody understand what I'm saying? The Bible tells me in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, nobody, not nobody ever, nowhere, no one comes unto me unto the Father except by me. He said, I am the way. So, when I'm talking about the way here, I'm going to go ahead and tell you it's the Lord. And I believe the problem is the Lord is getting in our way. Because we can't live like the world without bumping into Jesus. And He's in our way, and the soul of the people are discouraged. And there's a discouragement in the church house today. God has saved, counting the jail, 106 people thereabouts this year. Baptized almost 30 people, 101 first-time visitors into the church house, and we're discouraged in our soul. Why is that? How can we be discouraged if that much is going on? How can we be down spiritually if that much is going on? How can we be quiet and not praise the Lord if there's that much going on? It's because the way has gotten in the way.
Yeah.
And we can't fit in out there because we keep bumping into the Lord. And we're discouraged. Because that's what it says. It don't say on the way. They weren't discouraged on the way. It says, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Because of the way. Well, let's just look at the way. Let's look at the way just for a moment. Everybody follow me this tonight? The way was the problem. See, it was so much of a problem. Look there in verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, grumbling, complaining. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this like bread. That's what the Lord give them. Our soul loatheth this like bread. This bread you've been feeding us from heaven. Oh, I'm sick of it. Have you ever been sick of what God gives you? They were. It happens when the way's in the way. Verse 7 says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. See, because of the discouragement of the way, it caused them to sin. Are you hearing me? Talk to me if you're hearing me. I'm not asking you to agree. I'm not asking you to say amen. I just want to hear you at least say, yes, I understand. But I believe the way has gotten in the way. Look what the children of Israel had been slaves for over 400 years. And they were free. Why would they be discouraged? Why would they have a reason to be discouraged? They had been slaves for 400 years and now they weren't a slave no more. They didn't have two nickels to rub together and they had so much riches when they left Egypt, they had a hard time carrying it. But they were discouraged. They journeyed in the wilderness and never had to cook a meal. They never had to go scrounge. I was reading a commentator and they said, well, the way was hard because the food was scarce. Not for the children of Israel, food wasn't scarce. He gave them bread and quail every day. Do you know that he didn't just feed them once? He fed them every day for 40 years. Why would they be discouraged? They were getting fed all they could eat. All they could eat of honey biscuits and quail. Peasant under glass. Huh? Peasant under glass. Eating all they could every day. They didn't have to go out and dig wells. Moses go up there and the water run out of a rock and they gathered up out of a rock. But we're talking about enough water for 2 million people. That's a lot of water. Why would they be discouraged? Their clothes never wore out in 40 years. They never had to have another pair of blue jeans for 40 years. Their boots never wore out for 40 years. They didn't have to worry about their shoes wearing out. If they didn't wear out, they was broke in perfect. For 40 years, they had the guidance of God. God guided them every day with a pillar or with a cloud and every night by a pillar of fire. That didn't just happen when it crossed the river. That happened for 40 years, every day and every night. They didn't move. If the cloud didn't move, they didn't move. If the fire didn't move, the pillar of fire didn't move, they didn't move. If it was a day, a week, a month, a year, it didn't matter. As long as that cloud was there. But God guided them in sight. Everybody could see it. Everybody understood it. There wasn't no misunderstanding. You tell me what anybody's got to be discouraged about when they're getting 100% guidance from God, 100% taken care of physically, 100% taken care of spiritually, because God's there providing everything, communing with them, coming down in the tabernacle, and the cloud would be there, God was there, they was going in and ministering to the people, and they're discouraged. Because they weren't discouraged about the situation. They were discouraged because of the way. It was getting in their way because, man, I wish I was back in Egypt. What kind of people would want to go back to Egypt? Why would they want to go back and be a slave? Not have no money and have to work the way they did. And they said, boy, I wish I was in Egypt. If I could just have a little garlic. If I could just have me a big onion. I hate all this food from heaven. Give me some world. Give me some world. All this heaven. I'm going to be a fanatic. I can't be a fanatic. I need a little bit of world with me. Because the way is in the way. I got to add.
put something in my, put the world in my salt shaker, and let me shake a little world, and I'll stay here. But if you take it all away and put me on a godly diet, I can't handle it because I'm discouraged on the way. And the world has infiltrated our Christian life, and our modern Christianity tonight is worldly instead of godly. It's not holy, it's unholy.
Amen.
And the way has got in the way. The way has got in the way. Why would they be discouraged? Think about this. Huh? I don't understand. Do you know, the reason the way started getting in the way, did you ever think, you know, when that cloud moved, they had to break camp. They had to be paying attention to the guiding hand of God. That when He said move, when that cloud moved, they, let's go, let's get it. They had to be ready to go on a moment's notice. They wasn't no, let's go get ready. They had to stay ready. When that fiery pillar moved at night, if they wanted to do some night journey, they had to get with it, boy. They had to pay attention to the guiding hand of God. In other words, their relationship with the presence of God had to be right. But they got discouraged because the way was messing with them. Too much. Too much God. Too much Jesus. Too much church. Too much Christian music. We got to let our kids and listen to Taylor Swift and all the hell that's on the phones and on the stuff now. Beyonce and all this trash and the 100-year anniversary of the Grand Ole Opry. True, too much Jesus. Gotta have a little bit of world to go with my heavenly meat. Gotta have a little world to flavor my heavenly chicken. Have a little world to put and rub instead of heavenly butter. I need a little bit of world jelly to put on my biscuit from heaven. Because the way's too hard. The way's too much God. If I stay on this, everybody's going to look at me funny. I'll be the chosen people I'm supposed to be. That's what they were saying. I'll end up being the chosen people God wants me to be. They'll start looking at us like we're different. We are different. If we're born again tonight, we're supposed to be different. They'll look at us and know we're a Christian. They'll listen to us speak when we say hello. It ought to be a Christian hello. When we say goodbye, it ought to be a Christian goodbye. Everybody ought to know you're a Christian. If anybody ever's got to ask, you ain't right with God. But the way's in the way. The way's in the way. I'll be a Christian when I want to be. Because I can't cuss. You told me, Brother Rick, you told me, what was it, Brother Rick? Hey, boys. Where's the boy? Oh, you. Who's in Rick's class? Boys, hold your hand up. You're in Rick's class downstairs. Hold your hand. What did he tell y'all? Is it all right to cuss? Is it all right to cuss if your brother and daddy's there because they're Christian? Is it? Is it all right to cuss? Well, they're Christians. They understand. Because things get a little bad, having a little tough time, working on something, smash your fingers off, and in a bind, and you can go ahead and say all them dirty words. But you see, you got to have a little world. Because too much Jesus, that ain't going to hurt. So you end up getting discouraged. You bring it into the church house. And we see the miracles of God. We see miracles of healing and miracles of people that's able, that should have been dead, that is alive and doing things.
Yeah.
The miracle of the salvation of souls, and we're discouraged. It's got to be because the way's in the way. Jesus is in the way. Come here, Jackson. No, I don't want you. Come here, Jeremy. I want you. I want somebody big. He's the biggest one in here tonight. Huh? Now, here's the problem. I want you to get on me just like a monkey on a banana. You stay right tight against me. All right? Huh? Man, listen, I got over here. I got to go over here. Oh, Jesus, would you get out of my way? The world's over here. Let me buy you, Jesus. Come on now. See? Oh, I'm so tired fighting Jesus. I'll just quit. That's what I'll do. I ain't coming back. See, because I can't get him off my back, because he can't get in me. But he might as well be. Huh? I'll just go the opposite way. I'll get away from him. See? Yeah. I'll just get away from him. As long as I don't go his way, I'm all right. See, easy over here. You see it? See, every time I go to turn, there he is. And I'll just keep going this way. See, I'll just finally go out the door. That's where I'll go. Huh? See, the way gets in the way. You understand that? The way gets in our way. You can't have it both ways. We can't live like hell and hold on to the Lord. We can't live in the world and be like the world. We can't do it. And we'll get discouraged because of the way. They didn't get discouraged on the way. They was eating like kings, being taken care of. It wasn't the way. The on the way wasn't the problem. The way was the problem. We okay? Hmm? Are you sure you're okay? The way was in their way. Let's look at four things real quick. The way was hard. Can I tell you, being a Christian is hard if you try to be like the world. Being a Christian ain't hard if you just want to be a Christian. But being a Christian to be like the world, that's where the hard part comes in. Because there's too much expected of a Christian. See, to be a Christian, we're supposed to be Christ-like. Or is everybody following me tonight? But I don't want to be Christ-like all the time. I'm discouraged. Where I go is Jesus. Where I go, I can't say nothing to them people because I'm a Christian. I can't act like that because I'm a Christian. I gotta go to church because I'm a Christian. I ain't gonna be happy. Am I telling you the truth or not? That's where we're at. Because the way is in the way. Jesus is in the way. That's why 111, 116 people commenced on a Sunday morning. That's why a minimum of 74 people miss every Sunday morning. A minimum of 74 people. I don't know what misses downstairs. I'm telling you what misses upstairs. Can I tell you that if I run a job and 30% of my workforce didn't show up, I would say this is not acceptable. What's 30% of 11? Let's see. 10% is 1, 20% is 2, 30% is 3. All right. How many ball teams can play with us 9 men? How many can play a good football game with 9 men? Huh? There's 5 on a basketball team, all right? So say 10%, it'd be a half a man, right? 2% would be a man. 3% would be a man. So you got 3.5 men. Can you play a good basketball game with 3.5 men against 5 healthy, good guys? Y'all tell me.
No.
Can you?
No.
Then how do you expect the church to stay strong when 30% of the workforce don't come? Now, I'm not talking about people that's been gone or sick, or I'm talking about people that's normally there. Now, I'm not to show you, the other day y'all was gone. Y'all was what? The other day y'all was gone. We all was always here. But you wasn't that day. So you was in the number of missing. You were sick, but you wasn't here. You understand? Hey, I'm not talking about people that never come or come once a month or once a year. I'm talking about normal people. Is everybody following me?
Yes,
so when you look and they're not there, when you got to start finding replacements on Sunday morning and there's no phone call to know you got to replace them. The way's in the way. The way's hard, ain't it? The way's hard. Things are not easy like the world. See, in the world, you don't have to be like anybody. To live in the world, you don't have to, there's no standard. There's no standard for being a sinner. There's no standard for that. You can be a big one or a little one. But there's a standard to be a Christian. There's a standard. And it's hard. It's hard to act like Jesus. But he tells me I can't do it anyway. But he tells me that you can, without me you can do nothing. But then he tells me with him I can do anything. In fact, he tells me because I got him, greater things can I do than what I've read in the Bible. Wait a minute. That can't mean that. That's got to be taken out of context some way. It can't mean what it says. It can't mean that I can be something great for God because what the world. Number two, the way calls for sacrifice. The way calls for sacrifice. Not only is the way hard, but the way calls for sacrifice. I'm going to have to give up what means the most to me. Did not Jesus say, you follow me, you're going to have to hate who? Father, mother, children. Is that what he says? Talk to me. Y'all going to agree to that? That's what the Bible says. Right? Right? So that's sacrifice. When you put everybody else on the back burner and he's number one. Huh? Is that a bus? Huh? If that's one of our buses, go get them off of it. They need to be in church, not on a stinking bus. If that's a road, I'm serious. Somebody go look. If that's somebody on the bus, get them off of it. We're not riding the bus during preaching. See? Everybody all right with that? I hope it's a road scraper. It better not be a bus. Everybody okay? Now, I'm not mad. I'm a pastor. I'm worried about 30% of the workforce. I'm worried about 30% of my pay that they just took away and I can't even use. How am I going to make it? We okay? Calls for commitment. The way's hard. The way calls for sacrifice. There's some things you're going to have to give up. Can I tell you what you're going to have to give up? You're going to have to give up your own life. You're going to have to put your own life on the altar and kill it. Your own life means nothing. Look at me tonight. You've got eternal life. You've got Christ in you. You've got the greatest God that lives inside you. You don't need nothing else. You don't need nothing else. Look at me. You don't need nothing else. You got the Lord. That's enough. Huh? If that ain't enough for you, then you don't know Jesus. If He ain't enough to fill your needs, then you don't have Him. Because if you got Him, He'll take care of every need you got. Huh? That's what the Bible teaches me. Huh? The way's hard. The way calls for sacrifice. The way calls for commitment. I'm committed to this book. Huh? I'm committed to prayer. I'm supposed to be committed to this church. Huh? Supposed to be committed to my Sunday school class, my position. Supposed to be committed to that. I know people get sick. I know people go on vacation. That ain't what I'm talking about. Huh? I'm talking about 116 people going at once. I'm talking about 94 people on average being going at once. It's hard to work when half the crew ain't there. 30% of the crew ain't there. Huh? Or are we still okay?
Yes.
Talking about commitment. I have here in my hand Revised by Pastor Mark D. Secrets, August of 2023. Requirement for all teachers. Requirements, and every teacher and helper got this. Requirements for all teachers and helpers. You must be faithful. This means 3 exclamation points. Sunday school, worship, AM and PM. Now, people's going to work on Wednesday, and that's why that ain't included. It's Sunday school, worship, morning and night. For a Sunday school teacher. Well, that is common sense, ain't it?
That's exactly right.
But if we go with this, we're going to have substitute. Dress code shall be modest apparel, dresses and skirts, knee length. I just noticed things change. No t-shirts for men for Sunday school. Supposed to wear your special force t-shirts. Can't ask your kids to wear it if teachers won't wear it. No tobacco products on church grounds or any church-related activity. Everybody got these at teachers and help. You got all these because I revised them, made sure everybody had one. Now, you say, well, I don't have it, but you throw it away then. Because this stock is the leftover stock I had out there on the table. And I just took them in my office this week. Okay? You need to be willing to be moved around. Or even set out of years, whatever the need is. Whether you're teaching or helping. You might be needed in a different class. You'd be ready to get moved. Huh? Well, are we still okay? I'm not ground. Now listen, this ain't a great message. I'm telling you, we get tired of the way. We're discouraged because of the way. It says here, the last thing on the line says, I need a count of attendance for each Sunday school class so I can add classes as necessary. This is August of 2023. I have yet to get the first Sunday school report. I have not got the first Sunday school report on any class. And your paper says I'm supposed to get one for each Sunday school so I can add classes if necessary. I get junior church, but I don't get nothing about Sunday school. You know why? Because the way's in the way. And we're too busy and too hurried. We don't do our job. I know it's voluntary, but you volunteer. If you can't do it, then you shouldn't volunteer. I'm not going to growl at you if you don't volunteer. A lot of people don't volunteer. But if you're going to volunteer, then do what you're supposed to do. But see, the way gets in the way. Because I forget. Well, you don't forget everything, yeah. You don't forget that hickory tree, that squirrel went behind, you didn't get a shot at. You don't forget that trout you missed in that rock 23 years ago. Every time you go up Cranberry, you say, I missed a big trout right there on that rock. You see a woman walk down the street, you say, you know, I should have bought that dress the other day. It was on sale and I missed it. You don't forget that. But don't tell me you forget these other things. You don't. See, you got to have a little bit of worldly salt to put on your heavenly meat. And you got to have a little bit of worldly jelly to put on your heavenly biscuit because it's too hard. Calls for commitment. The way calls for priority. Not just the way's hard and not just it calls for sacrifice and not just commitment, but it calls for priority. That's where the rub comes in because the way is not going to be our priority. Not long we got a hand in the world. And I just want everybody to remember, Jesus don't play second fiddle. He'll play first fiddle, he don't play at all. I'm not judging nobody. I'm just preaching. Like I told you, I throw the rock. If you yelp, that's not my fault. I just throw the rock. We okay? You know I love you. That's why I don't agree with all that, but I'm sorry. That you don't agree with it, but you're still wrong. The way's in the way. When something will come before the Lord, there's a problem. We okay? I thank God for life stream. I do. I thank God for a tool. It's a most useful tool. What did you tell me, Jeremy? 806 watched this morning's service. Something like that. 806 people. Now, we had 246 here this morning. 246 people here this morning with 94 gone. All right, you've been there. And 806 watched on live stream. That's a pretty good congregation there. Ain't that a big that's 1,000 people at church this morning. Ain't that something? That don't blow your mind? Huh? It blows my mind. Yeah, that's me. I was not counting the website, and we average 8,000 to 10,000 a month watching the website. 6,000 to 10,000 a month.
We had just over 200 this morning right after preaching.
They've been on the website. They watched at listen. They can't watch it. They just listen. 200 people. So that's 1,200 people at church this morning. That's a pretty good congregation for a country church. Huh? We're okay. But you know what we've done with media? We've made media our church. So we can watch it when we have time. We watch it. I ain't going to be there Sunday. I'll just go back and watch it. When do you watch it? Do you watch it at 10 Sunday school and then 11? Or do you watch it Tuesday? Or Thursday? Or Friday? Whenever you get time from out there. Because the priority's not there. Is everybody following me?
Oh, yeah.
See, live stream's supposed to be for people that's sick and can't get out. So at 10 o'clock they can tune in and watch the Sunday school. And 11 o'clock they can tune in and watch the preaching. And it's almost like being here because they long to be here because they're sick and they want to be here. But the world has drawn away the other ones that will find time to watch it. I'm going to skip through the singing because I don't really like their singing. So I'm going to listen to the preaching. Well, I ain't going to like that. I need to go to the bathroom. I'm thirsty. Do people really go back and watch and sit with no interruptions? Does everybody, tell me the truth, does everybody really sit without going to the bathroom or going to get coffee? Or, you know, do you at least put your clothes on? Do you at least do that much? You get out of your bed clothes and put on regular clothes. Do you at least dress? Now, tell me the way ain't in the way. Tell me the way ain't in the way. The way's in the way. Facebook, I'm sorry, the way's in the way for some of y'all. Huh? Some of you thanking God for live stream, and we're not quitting. first year we're going to be improved and better. Huh? The Lord lets us. But right now, I keep bumping into Jesus. Where I go, there He is. You intimidated me so much, and I'm never intimidated. That's good. Scared me to death. Your presence scared me to death. No, it annoyed me, is what it did. The presence of God don't scare me, it annoys me. Because He's in the way. He's in the way. There's several things that kill us. Now listen, don't go make you mad at me. Don't quit going to church. Don't go somewhere else. All right? That's everybody's cure. Just quit and go somewhere else.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I was going to tell everybody so they can hear it on Facebook. If the Lord moved you, you ought to have enough backbone to come tell the preacher the Holy Ghost move you instead of just sneaking off and leaving somewhere.
Amen.
If the Lord's in it, why are you ashamed of it?
That's right.
Then you can speak to me out at Walmart or the gas station.
Yeah.
And you don't feel so bad. Oh, preacher. Like how I'm easy to miss. I'm not stupid. Huh? Been pastoring 40 years. I've only had two families in 40 years ever come to me and said, the Lord's leading us away to go to another place. Everybody else just slips out and leaves or quits and goes back to the world. 40 years. Two couples, I'd tell you the couple. This ain't my first message. This ain't my first night pastoring. Be okay? I love you. Y'all know this. Listen, I'm not griping. I'm not growling. I'm trying to help us. Because when they done this, the children of Israel said, we sinned. And even though they said they sinned, God said, okay, here's a serpent. Look and live. Huh? And all of them wouldn't look. Does that make sense? Talk to me. Does that make sense? They went through all that and they said, yeah, we've sinned, we've done wrong. We ain't looking. Well, maybe we don't. Well, but by golly, I ain't looking. I'm not going to repent. I'll tell you I'm sorry, but I don't mean it. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Our cell phones is killing us. How many hours you locked in on your phone? It tells you every week.
Yeah.
How many hours you spend on your phone? Compare it to how many hours you spend in your Bible. How many hours you spend witnessing?
Right.
Huh? Yeah, but I watch Christian stuff. I didn't ask you what you watched. I asked you how long were you on it.
Amen.
Huh? Right there. That much screen time is why you have mind trouble.
Amen.
It's already a scientific fact. If you've got that much screen time, it messes with your motor skill activity.
Amen.
Okay? We put our kids in all kinds of sports because we think it makes us look like better parents. And we get them involved in everything that's going to take them away. This is what I don't understand. Now, don't talk to me about ball. I've helped coach basketball. I've helped coach baseball. I've helped coach soccer. I was a soccer coach. Can you believe that? I was a soccer coach. I was. One of me and Ted Miller was a soccer coach. See, I'm not the idiot about ball. I just don't like it. Everybody understand? But it ain't because I don't know it. I played middle linebacker, and it interfered with hunting season. I had to quit. All right? I know about it. Everybody still follow me? Now, I know what time it is. All right? Everybody okay?
Yes, sir.
But I want you to think about this. All right, we involve our kids in things that's going to take them away. And we go to the coach, we go to the people that's having the ball and say, all right, I want my kid to play. And the coach says, well, listen, we practice every day. If you want your kid to play, they can't miss practice. Now, they're going to have to be here for every game. All right? Now, if they're sick, we understand, but now they need to be here. If I call extra practice, I want them to be here. Now, if they're going to play now, now they're going to have to have, make sure they have a uniform and have their all their, whether it be their shin guards or their cleats or their baseball glove or their football, and they're going to have all the stuff. Now you make sure they're going to be, no, it won't be a problem. I'll make sure they're here. And they'll die. They'll call, hey, I can't get there. Get Uncle So-and-so to go by and get Junior and get him over yonder that he can get to the practice because he won't get to play over the weekend if they don't. We got a Sunday game. And I got to work, so get Grandpa and Grandma and Sister and Aunt and Uncle and the world, get the world to go get them and make sure they go. But we're having visitation for the buses where I can't go. We're having this and I can't go. Well, what about your class? Well, can so-and-so fill in? I can't be there. Are we listening? Don't tell me the way's not in the way. When God showed me that, I said, that's it. That's the answer. That they was discouraged because of the way. They weren't discouraged on the way. They was discouraged because of the way. There's a big difference there. We're too interested in the legacy of our family instead of the faith of our family. We don't need to be known for our exploits in the world. We need to die and be known for the faith that we had in God. Y'all won't believe this. But I was invited to be a who's who in the preacher thing. Y'all know that? They got a who's who. You know they got who's who in ball game, ball player. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And they sent me a paper several years ago and told me that I had been accepted to be in the who's who of some kind of preaching thing. I said, well, ain't that nice? They said, you send us our $175 and we'll get you. And I said, that's like me having my own surprise birthday party. I'm not going to pay for something like that. So I sent it back. I said, no, y'all can have who's who. I know who I am. Don't worry about a legacy for family. Worry about my faith for my family. My grandfather, my popo, the legacy he left me for faith. I told you and I'll tell you again tonight. I got in my memory, in my mind, him going up to a 60-some model Impala after the road scraper had took the whole grill, radiator, and the whole front end off the car. But because he had to go preach, he got out in the snow and laid his hands on that car and prayed over that car. And all the antifreeze was gone, everything, the whole front end tore out, and he got in that car and drove it to where he had to preach. Wouldn't start, wouldn't run, but he got down. That's the legacy I want. The legacy of faith. Where he walked over the cliffs of the New River Gorge. If you're going to Oak Hill and you look up the river when you cross New River Bridge, go around the bend up there and you'll see the gorge at my pawpaw in the dark without a flashlight after having a massive heart attack behind Babcock Park. Walked down the mountain to get to the tracks and he'd walk and put his foot out and they wouldn't be nothing. And he'd go back and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. and he put his foot back and he'd be a rock, and he climbed down them cliffs after having a massive heart attack and got down to the soil camp, got there at the behind the grist mill at the end of the road. Walked, the man wasn't there in the shanty to take him home, so he walked a 5 mile down to Kenny's Creek, walked a 6 mile back up to Winona after having a massive heart attack, and all of us, everybody, 200 people looking for him in the woods. That's the legacy of Faith Hubbell. My daddy took a little church at Winona that was on the very banks of hell at the pool room run Winona. My daddy went down there, and my daddy was tough. He was hard. He visited on a four-wheeler with a 357 Magnum on his side and blue Samurai shirt and jeans, and that's how he knocked on doors. And they always, he was a water commissioner. He said, if you don't go to church with boys, he'll cut your water off. And he visited, and the church went. I baptized the 67th person. He was in the hospital after having a heart attack right before he died. And I baptized for him after I held revival for him. 67 people in 4 years he'd be baptized down there. And he went from 6 people to 120 people. Had the faith. That's the legacy I want. Don't want the legacy of the world. But you can't let the way be in your way. Sure, I'm going to quit. You go, Penna. Clark, I don't know what to say. Help us, oh God. There we go. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm just telling you. I believe I found our problem. I believe the problem of Mountain State Baptist Church tonight is the way is in our way. And when you decide it's time to change, it'll change. When you decide that the way is the most important, then it'll change. Until you decide it, it ain't going to matter what I say, what I do. Until you decide it, it's not going to change in your home. It's not going to change in your life. It's not going to change in the church. Somewhere you're going to have to decide that the way is not in the way no more. That I'm not discouraged on the way. Or I may get discouraged on the way, but I'm not discouraged because of the way. Listen, being a Christian is not a bind. And I'm not in a bind being a Christian. I'm not in a bind coming to church on Sunday. I come to church. I don't feel like coming to church sometimes. I'm sick. I'm like some of you now. I got cancer too, you know. I'm just telling you, I'm just going to make an excuse to miss church. I got sinus. I don't ever get a run. I've had a runny nose. I ain't had a runny nose in 50 years. I've had a runny nose the past 2 days, but I'm here. I don't feel like being here today. I'd rather be home in bed. Huh? That's a lie. I wouldn't be home in bed if I was home. Huh? I'm just telling you, listen, it means more. I need church. I don't know about y'all, but I need church. I need the house of. I need you people. I need to see your face. I need your fellowship. You're an encouragement to me to see you walk through the door. I know the load you carry, and you come and listen, it's a help to me. Don't quit. Please don't quit. Huh? Father, help us tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name.